Morning. How are you all? Well, okay. Today we are going to New Testament. We have been studying through Psalms, but today, this week, we are going to New Testament, the shortest book, one of the shortest book, Philemon. It's in between Titus and Hebrews. And before you reach there, I just want to ask a few questions. Have you ever desired to be a person who is influential? A person who impacts people? I'm not saying that, are you desiring to be famous? You know, the world, people in the world, they want to be famous. They want to make their name. I'm not saying that. I'm asking, have you ever desired to be an influential person in the church? To use in Christian language, to be a blessing to others. Have you ever desired? Probably. Every Christian. That's what our calling is. Remember Jesus Christ? Matthew chapter 5, he said, shine your light. We have to shine the light of the gospel to this world. We have to influence. We have to impact people. We should desire. But have you ever desired? Are you living to impact people? Are you living to influence others? Probably some of you. And I praise God for that. And if you are not, you have to. And if you have tried and then failed, then solution is not to stop. But solution is to go forward again. But the question is, how? How can I influence? How can I impact? I tried. I failed. I'm just a young man. Who will listen to me? You might think like this. Old people won't listen to me. I'm just a young man. I'm just an old woman. I'm just an old man. 8 years old. This young generation is obsessed with this mobile. They won't listen to me. I'm just only one person. How can I impact? Goa is big. Porvorim is big. Coniston is big. I can't impact people. This is the thoughts that we go through. Maybe some of you. Mostly. And then we stop living so that we might influence. And then we'll say, we'll settle down. We'll just be a normal Christian. You know, let Sammy, Chris, Devraj, the big people, let them be influential people. Let them study Bible more and let them proclaim Christ. I'll be a normal Christian in the church. Maybe some of the PTS guys, because they are studying Bible, let them influence people. But I'll be a normal Christian. And then when this thought enters into your mind, it doesn't stop there. It goes forward. I am not an influential people. I'm not one of them. I don't need to study Bible so hard. I'll just read one psalm. And then I'll pray, and then I'll move forward. And then it goes more. You might say, I am not a person who is impacting. I don't need to. I don't need to even study Bible. I'll go to church Sunday and listen to the word. That's enough. I'm not sinning, right? That's the thought that comes into our mind. You'll stop living a Christian life. But what's the solution? How can I change? How can I keep my passion to proclaim Christ be consistent? How can I be consistent? That is the question that we have to learn. And you know what? We will all fail if we try with our power. But there is solution. There is a power that can help us to be consistent in this. That's found in the gospel. That's what the book Philemon, the epistle Philemon talks about. Philemon is a very shortest epistle, as I mentioned. Out of 66 books in the Bible, 5 books are of one chapter. And this is one of them. And then this is not a letter that is written to a church. It is very personal. Paul wrote it to Philemon. And then he doesn't use his apostolic authority while writing to Philemon, but he mentions that he is a fellow brother. And it's very personal. And the gist of the epistle is that, Philemon, your slave Onesimus, who ran away from your place, taking some of money, now been transformed by the power of the gospel. Receive him back, forgive him, and receive him back. See, the power of the gospel transformed Paul, a persecutor, to preacher, and used Paul to preach gospel to Philemon, and Philemon is transformed, and now Onesimus is also transformed. So Paul is writing to Philemon saying, hey, Onesimus is transformed. He is not the same man. Receive him, forgive him. We should also believe that gospel can transform you and me. We have to put trust in the gospel, the transforming power of gospel. So today, this is a sermon. Trust in the transformation power of the gospel. You can change. God can change you. You can be useful. God can use you. You can be an influential person in the church if you trust in the transformation power of the gospel. And this is a short epistle, as I mentioned, 100 times within 5 minutes. I want to read whole epistle. It's just 25 verses. And as I go through the epistle, I want to give you the division of the epistle to understand what is the portion which we are reading. So, I'm reading from ESV version. The letter of Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Appia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This 1-3 verses, we see the gospel establishes relationships, family relationships especially. You see, he mentions our brother, Timothy, our brother, Appia, our sister. We are brother and sisters in the church. Why? Because we have the same father. That we see in verse 3. Our father. Church is a family. Gospel establishes this family relationships. 1-3. And then moving forward from verse 4. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Here Paul is talking about the transformation the gospel had made in Philemon and how it changed and how Philemon is loving others and keeping his faith consistent. So from verses 4-7 we see that gospel establishes and enables love relationships in the church, love among the brothers. And verses 8 to 22, accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing with your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. This is talking about how the gospel restores broken relationships. And from verses 23 to 25, we see final greetings. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The gospel generates care among brothers. This epistle is written just because of the gospel power that worked in these three persons, Philemon, Paul, and Onesimus. That's the power of the gospel. And there are two aspects that we will see. We are only looking at verses 10 to 13 today. So we will see two aspects of the transformation power of the gospel that will encourage us to keep our trust in the gospel. The first aspect is that the gospel has the power to redeem people. Gospel can save people. You know why we discouraged most of the times? That's because we try to save people, try to evangelize with our own power. That is the reason that we get discouraged and disappointed. But if we believe that the gospel has the power to save anybody, we won't be discouraged. Romans 1:16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. Romans 10:17, he says, so faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. Gospel can save people. Gospel can redeem people. There is hope in the gospel. We have to trust in the power of the gospel. And there are two manifestations that we see in verse 10. How this power is manifested. In verse 10 he says, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus. I appeal to you. As I earlier mentioned, Paul is appealing Philemon. He is an apostle. He, in verse 8 to 9, he does mention that, I am an apostle. I have bold confidence in Christ that I can command you, but I don't want to command you, brother. For love's sake, I want to appeal you. I appeal to you. Appealing means it's an exhortation, but with care. And he, if you move forward, he also mentions that, I, Paul, an old man. Now, also prisoner of Christ Jesus. You know, he is asking something like sympathy. Love me, Philemon. Please be kind to me. Show sympathy. I am old man now. Take Onesimus. He is showing so much of care. You might think that Paul is so emotional. A very nice man, kind man. He will be kind to everybody. So he is also writing to Philemon in very kind words. But if you remember in Acts chapter 15, the Paul, remember Acts chapter 15 verses 40, somewhere near 40. I am lost in my notes. Yeah. Okay. When John Mark left him in the middle of the ministry. When they are returning to encourage the churches, Barnabas says, we'll take John Mark. You know what Paul did? No. He deserted us. He deserted us. So let's not take him. But there happened a sharp disagreement with Barnabas and Paul, and they had to depart. Paul is very strict. He is a very bold man. It is not easy to be ordained by Paul. He is not a nice man, if you think so. But what made Paul to appeal like this? He's using all his words. I am an old man. I am a prisoner of Christ. I appeal to you. Show me love. Receive Onesimus. Why is he so compelled to recommend Onesimus? That's the transformation that happened in Onesimus. That is the power of the gospel. It can change people. So looking at the transformation of Onesimus, Paul completely trusted in him, and now he wants Onesimus, Philemon, to take Onesimus. Gospel can redeem difficult people. Difficult people. That is the manifestation. Gospel can save difficult people. Onesimus is a slave. He is living under Philemon church. See, he is listening to, probably, he might have, because the Colossian church gathers in Philemon's house. And then he might have listening to the gospel. Being a godly man, Philemon would have even prayed for Onesimus. But Onesimus was not changing. He's a difficult man to change. But God transformed, gospel transformed. Not when he was in the church, Philemon's house, but when he ran away. And look at Paul. Acts chapter 9, he was a persecutor. He was going to destroy the church. He's against the church. He wants to kill the Christians. Merciless person. God changed Paul. How about Philemon? Jesus Christ mentioned in Matthew chapter 19, it is easy for camel to enter into the head of the needle. Wealthy man. Philemon is a wealthy man, probably, because he owns slaves and the Colossian church is gathering at Philemon's house. He can accommodate a church. That's a big house. He's a wealthy man. But gospel can save difficult people. Are you tired today preaching gospel to your own loved ones? Thinking that this is a difficult person. He is a difficult person. He won't come to faith. If you remember, we are all difficult persons. We are all difficult persons. We changed. So we should also be kind to our brothers, our loved ones, whom we are evangelizing. Gospel can save difficult people. Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:15, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Luke 5:31, Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. If you think the person is difficult, person is sinner, then he is eligible. Jesus Christ said he came to seek and save the sinners. We should preach gospel to sinners, not the righteous. Knowing that gospel can save difficult people, we should kneel down and pray. Because it is not me who can save, it is God who saves people. So we should ask God to involve in this matter. Realizing that we should kneel down and beg God to save people. Gospel can save difficult people. And the second manifestation we see that gospel can save people when they are in difficult situations. Difficult situations. We think when someone is coming to church, listening to word, you think that it's easy to approach this person. He is showing some interest. He is asking for Bible. He can change. I think I can evangelize him. We might think in that way. And if we see somebody is going into the world, we say, this person can't come back. So we think in those lines. As I earlier mentioned, Philemon was in the best place, best situation to be. Kind master and the place where the church is there. But now he ran away. Where? To Rome. There is no chance. Now we have a church in every street. In those days, when Philemon ran to Rome, there are no churches like that. And there is no media. There is no God channel, God TV, spiritual TV, this TV, that TV, to listen to gospel. There is no media. There is no chance. But even if the situations are bad, gospel can work. We don't know how Onesimus met Paul. Paul is in prison. But somehow God brought Onesimus to Paul and saved. And how about Paul? Was he a king over there? Was he a big leader so that he can influence others? No, he is in chains. He is in prison. Especially in the culture of honor and shame, someone who is in prison is not respected. No one will listen. Even now, we don't listen to someone who is coming from jail. How? But God, gospel has. God can change, even if it is a difficult situation. God unchained Onesimus from sins with a man who is in chains. No matter what the situation is, your loved one, maybe your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, your siblings, you might be thinking they are in a bad place. The situation is very bad. But trust that gospel can save and remain faithful to gospel. Proclaim gospel and live gospel. Especially living gospel is very important. What is living gospel? Living gospel is knowing that you are not the savior of this world. You are not savior of yourself. Christ is the savior. And you humble yourself. When you fail, you humble yourself. You acknowledge. You don't say, I am a Christian, I am a righteous man. You do fail, you confess. I am saved because of Christ. You mention that, you humble yourself. Difficult situations. We see Paul getting saved. And when he was going on the road to Damascus, very bad situation. And also, we see the sinner on the cross. You remember Luke chapter 23, verses 42 to 43. The sinner says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Everyone are mocking at Jesus Christ when he was on the cross. And the other thief who was on the cross, he was also cursing Jesus Christ. But gospel changed him. In that difficult situation, he happened to put his faith in Lord Jesus Christ. That is the difficult situation to influence somebody. Because for the world, when they look at the cross, they think it has a loss, not victory. But gospel has power. So gospel saved the thief. Whatever the situation might be, Be faithful to preach gospel and live gospel. Gospel has the power to save people. And now you might say, Daryl, my problem is not that. I want to change myself. I want to be a godly Christian. I tried and I failed. I can't keep my passion consistent. What's the solution? Gospel again. Morning we read from 1 Corinthians 15. Gospel can change us. That's the second aspect. Gospel can change us. The transformation power of the gospel can change us. That is the second aspect. And that is what going to sanctify us, transform us. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand. You stand on the gospel, and by which you are being saved. And if you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, that is gospel, then you will be transformed. You should stand on the gospel. Gospel can change us. Two ways how the gospel changes. Two ways how gospel helps us to change. And the first way, gospel changes us as a servant leader. Where do we see? We see in verse 11. In verse 11, he says, he talks about Onesimus, his child. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. He was useless, but now he is profitable. To you and to me. So Paul is saying, he is useful to you and to me, because now he is not the same man. He is not your slave anymore. He says, he is my son. When he writes, receive my child, he says, my child, not your slave. So Onesimus is transformed. Onesimus is changed. And he is now useful, because now he is not the same man. What was Onesimus before? He ran away with some money. Temptation to be free. To live for himself. I don't want to serve anybody. I want to be my king. I will serve myself. I'll take money. I'll run away. I'll go to Goa. And then enjoy my life. That's what he did. He went to Rome. Taking some money. Thinking that he will enjoy his life. Serving his own. Worshipping himself. He is a selfish person. If you are selfish, you are useless to God's family. If I am selfish, I am useless to God's family. But now he is not a selfish person. He is a servant leader. He is useful to you and to me. He is not useful to himself. He is useful to you. He will serve you. He is useful to me. He serves me. He is a servant. He is a servant now. Profitable. If you are a servant, you are the powerful and profitable person for God and His church. Remember Mark chapter 10, Jesus Christ, while teaching disciples who is a leader, He says, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And their great men exercise the authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become a great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. You know why Jesus Christ so powerful? Because he lived a life that is for others. That is not for him, but that is for others. He lived a life of sacrifice. you will be a powerful person when you will be a selfless person. When you start serving others, when you look into the needs of others, you will be serving. How many of us pray for others? You know, the best way we can serve is pray. At least the first thing to start. How much we pray for others? Do we even want to know others so that we might reach out to them, needs, to serve them? If you want to be a person who wants to influence people, impact people, even if it is your own family, you have to know their needs and then pray. Because the gospel has the power. God has the power. We have to be servants at heart. Second Corinthians 1:23, Paul lived like that. He mentions, "But I called to God as witness to my soul to spare you. I did not come again to Corinth, not that we lord it over your faith, but as workers with you." We are workers with you. I am a worker with you. I am a servant. I am a servant for what? For your joy. I am a servant. Paul also lived a life of sacrifice. He was serving others. We should also live like our Lord Jesus Christ and our Paul and serve others. And the second way, the gospel, the power of the gospel that will change us, is that the gospel will make us not just servant leader for one day, for one week, but it can help us to be consistent. Faithful servant helps us to become faithful servant. Where we see that? We see in verse 12 and 13, he says, "I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart." When he says very heart, it's like internal, inward parts, the bowels of feelings, where the feelings are there. I have love for Onesimus. That's what Paul is mentioning. I have deep love. He's so crucial for me. He's so important. And then he says, "I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel." He is saying, I want to keep him with me to serve. Paul has seen the faithfulness of Onesimus. Onesimus has been faithful to Paul in serving. That is why he is saying, "I want to keep him." Because he is faithful in serving. And the epistle Colossians is also written at the same time. And in Colossians, while writing to Colossians, Apostle Paul encouraged slaves in Colossian church, saying, "Slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service, at those who merely please men, but with sincere heart, fearing the Lord." Onesimus has become like this. That is the reason Paul is recommending Onesimus. Onesimus became faithful now. Gospel has transformed him to be a faithful servant. You can also be faithful. You can also be consistent. You know, most of you are already influencing. I don't want to share the names, but there are people who are working behind this program, not seeking anyone's glory. I've been influenced with those people, and I'm glad to know some of you pray for the church. And I learned that. And some of you, the way you respect the word by heart, that encourages me in my faith. That is encouraging me. You are already influencing. Some of you are already influencing. And the rest, we should also influence. Just submit to Lord Jesus Christ. Stay faithful to gospel. Be a servant. You will be an influential person. And if you fail, that's not okay. It's normal. Pastor Chris taught me, don't say it's okay. It's not okay. It's normal. We fail. But go to the God. Go to gospel. Paul writing to Timothy, he said, stand strong in grace of the Lord. We use grace to overcome sin. Don't misuse the grace, but we use to overcome sin. And when we say grace, grace is not nice again. Gracious God doesn't mean that God is so nice and kind. He forgives us. No. I was recently listening to Sammy preaching on Psalm 117. And he says, he explains what grace is. It's like Old Testament word loving kindness. We sang in the morning also. Grace conquers our sins. It is used in the terminology of war, battles. Grace is so powerful that conquers our sin and helps us to submit to Christ and glorify Christ. We have grace. When we fail, we go to God, we confess, ask for grace so that we can conquer the sin with the power of the gospel and move forward. If you are struggling, thinking that I am a weak person, I failed many times, I am not consistent, so I will not try it again. Brothers, sisters, I encourage you. I was also the same person. But gospel is helping me. Remember Onesimus. He is a poor man. He is a slave. He is a thief. You know what happened later? Onesimus became an elder in Ephesus church. Church history talks about that. He became an influential person. He became an elder. He is a thief. Now, he became an elder in Ephesus church. Remember Moses? He also started well. I want to save my brothers. And then he failed and he said, no, this job is not for us. It's not for me. And then when even God called, no, who am I, Lord? But later what happened? God changed him. God can change you. God can change me. God can use you. You will be an influential person if you cling to the gospel. First Corinthians 1:28. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Remember, we are low, we are all weak. Even when we first believed, we were also sinners, and we were also very weak. God can change us. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the gospel, for the power that is in the gospel. And thank you so much that you have revealed this glorious gospel to us, to Cornerstone. I pray for Cornerstone that we will be persons who will be influencing people, who will shine the light of the gospel throughout Goa. And I pray that we will be consistent in being this. Help us to cling to the gospel. Lord, as we fail, Lord, help us to remember that you are the one who is perfect, and we need you more when we fail. Help us to realize that. Help us to go back. I pray that Cornerstone will shine the light of the gospel to Goa. And I pray for each individual here that everyone will take a commitment to stand for gospel, to be consistent in character. I pray that everyone will become a serving leader in their own homes, in the places they work, wherever they are, Lord. I submit Cornerstone into your hands and myself. Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.